Hare Krishna. We can have your attention, please. We'll carry on now.
We have some comments there.
Okay. So, yeah. We have a sheet here and a pen. Please write down your comments. If you have some comments you'd like to make, please feel free to write them down. So we're going on now to chapter 12, which is the last chapter in this little section of Bhagavad Gita. And if you look at your overview book, you'll see there are three sections. The first is revisiting this whole subject of impersonalism. And again, comparing. In this case, we're comparing impersonalism to devotional service. We were comparing yesterday in the, what was it? Anyway, in the eighth chapter, comparing yoga, that sat-chakra yoga, to bhakti. Then there was a comparison in the ninth chapter of demigod worship to bhakti. So like this. Some comparisons are there of different important processes with bhakti. So this is a very clear comparison is made in a very straightforward way. Comparison between impersonalism and bhakti in verses 1 to 7. Let's have a look and see how Krishna addresses it. So, Arjuna asks, which you consider to be more perfect? Those who are always properly engaged in your devotional service, or those who worship the impersonal Brahman, the unmanifested? So that's a straight question. You know, it's not like a sort of complex question, it's just a very clear question, put it that way. And Krishna in verse 2 gives a very clear answer. Those who fix their minds on my personal form and are always engaged in worshipping me with great and transcendental faith are considered by me to be most perfect. So you might ask that, you know, seeing the question is so clear and the answer is so clear, that personalism is better, much better than impersonalism, you could ask, well, why are there impersonalists then? Why don't they all become devotees? You know, it's clear. But this material world is a very wonderful place in the sense that, you know, anything can happen at any time. Expect the unexpected. So this world is full of people. Not full of people, but there are many people within this world who, even if things are clear in one way, but they'll go another way. If nothing else, just to be different. But so even though Krishna has made it so clear here, Arjuna and Krishna, between verses 1 and 2, but still there are many people who are impersonalists, and they have a way, you know, like they can take a verse like verse 2, which is so clear, and they can turn it around and say, yes, you see here, this verse is all about impersonalism. We might wonder how on earth could they manage that, but they are very enthusiastic, so they do that. Anyway, we know there's a whole, like, historically a whole competition or even clash between the personalists and the impersonalists. Those who think that it's all one, and those who think, no, that there's individuality. Yeah. And this this clash or competition or whatever, these different perspectives were existing even in the time of Krishna. It's not a new thing at all. Yeah. People who think that, you know, why worship God? You can worship yourself. We can all worship Tirtharaj. Because he is everything. He is everything. He's everywhere. Or Rishabhanan. He is everywhere. Yeah. Some of our devotees were at Kumbh Mela, and it was a few years ago, and they were doing Food for Life. It's very cold, January in India. It's really very cold. So there they were, and they were doing Food for Life and everything, and get all these sadhus coming over, these penniless people who just wander around basically wearing saffron. And so there was this one guy, and the devotee was serving prasad, and this sadhu type impersonalist said, "Oh, thank you." And he said something like, "Om Namo Narayanaya," to the devotee. Like, "I offer my obeisances to you, Narayana." And the devotee said, no, I'm not Narayan. Krishna, he's Narayan." And this gentleman said, no. "We're all Narayan. And you are Narayan too. Everything is Narayan." And they got into a little disagreement, and this man was, you know, enthusiastically trying to make his point. And then that night, yeah, and he was saying, "Yeah, you're everywhere. You're everywhere. You're all pervading." That night it was really cold, and the devotees were distributing blankets. Someone had sponsored, you know, a few hundred blankets. So this little man came over, you know, shivering, like 0 degrees. All he's got on is a dhoti and a kurta. That's all he has. He came over. "Can I have a blanket?" The devotee pulled out one thread, said, "Here, take it." "I need a whole blanket." And the devotee said, no, it's everywhere. It's Narayan, it's everywhere. And I said, "No, give me a blanket." And after a little back and forth, the devotee said, "Okay, look, I'll give you the blanket if you agree that, you know, you, we, everything is not just everywhere, but we are here, and I'm here, and you are there." And then I said, all right. And he took his blanket. There are many stories. So yeah, you know, these people, they can do all sorts, argue in all sorts of ways. Right, so this is verses 1 and 2 then. It's really very clear. Krishna is making it very clear that the personal feature is higher, and in terms of the different levels that the people, the worshippers of the impersonal or the personal, the different levels they may reach, the personalists, the devotees, reach higher levels. Therefore they are considered to be most perfect. That was the specific point. So then in 3, 4 and 5, Krishna talks further in more detail about the impersonalists. This is 3 and 4, those who fully worship the unmanifested, so on and so on, that at last they achieve me. At last they achieve me. Now how would they achieve Krishna if they're impersonalists? How would they achieve Krishna? Of course it takes some time. He says, at last they achieve me. But how do they achieve Krishna? Because they are impersonalists from beginning to end. In other words, don't say they meet devotees and they become devotees. That's not the right answer under the circumstances. They remain impersonalists. So how do they achieve Krishna?
They
say.
Yes,
they may say, yes. But Krishna says that they actually achieve me. Not just that they think about it, they think they have. How do they actually achieve Krishna? Aha. See, we have an intelligent devotee here. They achieve the Brahma Jyoti, the Brahman, which is a lesser feature of Krishna. It is not Krishna the person, it is his impersonal effulgence, but still it's considered to be a part of himself. Yeah. The effulgence. You cannot separate the effulgence from Krishna. It's Krishna's effulgence. Take away Krishna, there's no effulgence. Yeah. So they achieve Krishna in the sense that they achieve the Brahman effulgence, which is not different from Krishna, or in a limited way is the same as Krishna. Actually, the Brahman effulgence means Krishna, it's Krishna, minus his form and minus his personality. What's left, if you take away the form and the personality, what's left is the effulgence. That's the Brahman effulgence. So that they achieve. Yeah. And then verse 5, this is a really good verse. For those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested, impersonal feature of the Supreme, advancement is very troublesome. To make progress in that discipline is always difficult for those who embody it. So the idea is, you know, if you really feel you must do it, you can be an impersonalist. But it's going to be really difficult. It's going to take a long time. It's going to be a big struggle. You may not make it. I mean, let's face it, sometimes being a devotee and being a personalist is not easy. Sometimes it's difficult. Yeah. And sometimes some people fall away. But being an impersonalist is much more difficult. So don't bother trying to be an impersonalist. I remember we had many years ago in England, actually it was in like 73, 74. There's this one boy, Bhakta Dad, was chanting Hare Krishna and, you know, being a bit of a devotee. But he was really into like yoga and meditation and austerities. And one day he got really angry, he said, "This is too easy. I don't like it." And he put his fist through a window, and then we never saw him again. So don't invite difficulty. Life is difficult enough without inviting more. So just be a devotee and do the needful there. Right. So, well, for those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested, impersonal feature of the Supreme, advancement is very troublesome. To make progress in that discipline is always difficult for those who are embodied. The point is, this is impersonal. But we are used to being persons. Krishna consciousness means you just apply your normal concept of who you are, but just apply it in a little different way to serving Krishna. This now means you have to reorient yourself about who and what you are, that you don't exist. What do you think about that? You have to tell yourself, I do not exist. I am a figment of my imagination. So it's very difficult. because we are used to being persons. So to now think we're not persons, it's really like an imposition on our established norms of how we see ourselves. So it's very difficult. What to speak of the fact that actually we're people, and we're actually not people. And if you start thinking you're something that you really are not, it can be very difficult, isn't it? Because it conflicts with reality. So it conflicts even with the relative reality of this world. Of course, here, you know, we know we're persons, but we think we're persons who we're not. That you're a woman, you're a man, and that, you know, you're so many years old, and you're so many years old. We are not that, because we are not these bodies. But we are people. We are people. Even though we think we are people now, we're not exactly that person, but we are people. So Krishna consciousness embodies that fundamental idea that we are people, and as people we can serve Krishna. So it's easier than trying to think you're something that you're not, and you know, you get confused. So then verses 6 and 7 finish this section, and they're very nice. But those who worship me, giving up all their activities unto me and being devoted to me without deviation, engaged in devotional service and always meditating upon me, having fixed their minds upon me, O son of Prita, for them I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. So, swiftly they are delivered from the ocean of birth and death. For the impersonalists, it's very troublesome. It takes a long time. At last they achieve Krishna. But Krishna in his Brahman effulgence feature, not the ultimate Krishna, the Supreme Person. But the devotees, very quickly, Krishna is the swift deliverer. Baladev Vijayabhushan makes a nice comment on this point, that Krishna is the swift deliverer of the devotee. He says the reason for this is that as the devotee renders more service on and progresses and gradually develops some love for Krishna, Krishna is such a person, like we mentioned, he's not ungrateful, and or maybe it's fine. So he's not ungrateful. He appreciates the devotees. Even you do a little service, he appreciates. So Baladev Vijayabhushan says that it comes to the point Krishna feels that I cannot do without this devotee. I want this devotee with me. So he just comes and takes you. Yeah. This is why he's the swift deliverer. Not that, yes, see me, I became so qualified, you know, I passed all the tests, I'm able to go back to Godhead, and I'm doing good. No. You know, struggling along, trying to do your service, but Krishna appreciates so much, he just comes and takes you. Or maybe Radharani recommends you. That, you know, there in Pretoria at UNISA is Bhakta Shoren, and she tells Krishna, you know, this Bhakta Shoren is really nice. And Krishna says, oh, really? And she says, yes, I want you to accept him. And Krishna immediately says, oh, okay. And that's it. Back home, back to God then. Get the recommendation of the devotee. Right, so there we see a comparison between personalism and impersonalism, and again, the point is really, really made very clearly, that personalism, or the process of devotional service, is clearly better. Right, so this brings on to the second section then, which is, what's it called? progressive stages of devotion, from top to bottom, starting at the top. This is verses 8 to 12. So, now, again, Krishna's emphasizing bhakti. Well, this chapter is called devotional service. It is the last chapter in this section. So naturally, seeing that the subject of the whole section is bhakti, Krishna is now really bringing everything into focus very strongly. So now the different stages, starting with the top stage. Different stages in the sense that you should try and figure out what level you're at in these terms, and then do that. So let's look at these levels, and then you figure out what level you're on, okay? So first level, text 8. Just fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in me. Thus you'll live in me always, without a doubt. Okay. So, can you do that? Just fix your mind on Krishna, and engage all your intelligence in Krishna. This is a very high level. As we said, from the highest, beginning at the top, coming down to the bottom, verse by verse. So to just fix your mind on Krishna is not so easy. I've mentioned many times before, some of you will have heard, how when I first joined, after a few days, I was driving one devotee around, older devotee, actually it was Hari Vilas. He's a very senior devotee, GBC member. So I was driving him around. I was a new boy, and he was preaching to me all day as we drove around London. It was really nice. And I'd been a devotee, you know, 2-3 weeks. And he said, you know, in Krishna consciousness, there's only one regulative principle. I've been hearing about four. So I thought, oh, really? Now the principle is, there's only one rule. You always remember Krishna, you never forget him. So I thought, oh, really? Okay. That sounds fine. So we don't have to worry about the others. No, just remember Krishna, don't forget him. You've achieved all to be achieved through all the other rules. So I thought, okay, I'll do that then. But, you know, after a little while, the mind was wandering here and there, and I realized that it wasn't so easy. So, therefore, you know, this level is something which is probably beyond us at this point. I hope I'm not disappointing anyone here who may be thinking that, right, this is for me. But let's step down a step and see what the characteristics there are, or the program is. In text 9, next level down, if you cannot fix your mind on me without deviation, then follow the regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga. In this way, develop a desire to attain me. So, this is really the type of level or type of program that as much as possible we should try to be on. Yeah. That we follow the principles, regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga. This is sadhana bhakti. You follow the four regulative principles, you chant your rounds, and take part in the programs of Krishna consciousness, get some service to do regularly. This is the program that we encourage people to do. Living in the temple, that's what devotees do, and devotees who live outside the temple, they should also do like this, ideally. This is something doable. So, yeah, we recommend this. Following the regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga, In this way you develop the desire to attain Krishna. So do you think you can do that? I'm not going to ask how many of you follow the regular principles, but sometimes, devotees who are generally following the regulative principles, sometimes they struggle. And of course, different people are on different levels. We have different expectations of. Like someone who's really a beginner, if they say that for the last week I chanted one round every day, then we may say, great, you've done very nicely. But an initiated devotee, if they say, I chanted one round a day last week, then we would tell them. Or even, an initiated devotee, if they said, for the last week I did 15 rounds a day. It's 15 times more than one round. But we'd probably say, oh, that's not so good. But the very new person, we'd congratulate them for doing one round a day. Or how's this? Some new person comes and says, you know what? I have not eaten meat in the last week. Then we might say, well done. But an initiated So you see, there are different levels and we have different expectations of devotees on different levels. But, a person who is on this level of following the regulative principles of devotional service is your, you could say, typical devotee who's living in a temple, your typical initiated devotee, your typical devotee who is committed to Krishna consciousness and, maybe moving in the direction of becoming initiated at some time. This text 9 is describing the way of life and that type of devotee. The devotee in text 8 who's just got the mind fixed on Krishna under any circumstances, whether he chants 16 rounds, 1 round, 64 rounds, his mind is no less fixed on Krishna, or his mind is always fixed on Krishna, not dependent on rules and regulations. That's a very elevated devotee. But this is doable. So, I know most or many of you are trying to be Krishna conscious and trying to be serious about Krishna consciousness. So try to be at this level. Okay? Follow the regulative principles, chant your rounds, be engaged regularly in the process of devotional service. That would be very nice. If you're not, then that's okay, we're not trying to point any fingers at anyone. And in fact, Krishna in verse 10 talks about the next level down. If you cannot practice the regulations of bhakti yoga, then just try to work for me. Because by working for me, you'll come to the perfect stage. So if you can't follow the regulative principles, and let's face it, in our broad community of people who are connected with our movement, there are many people who cannot follow, say, one of the regulative principles, or two, or three, or whatever it may be. There are definitely quite a number of people who cannot follow all of the principles, and some who maybe they can't even follow any of them. But still they are attracted to Krishna consciousness. And the idea is not that we, say, ooh, you're dirty. You go away. You're contaminating. We're trying to bring people in. Bring people in. So how to encourage them that, you can move forward and gradually you'll become free of these things. So Krishna says, just try to work for me. You're doing some work just come to the temple, do some service, get involved, do something. Yeah, do something, just get involved. And in due course, you'll get a taste for Krishna consciousness. And as you get a taste, then you'll lose interest in these things, or as one devotee put it, that you will not give up meat eating, but meat eating will give up you. Yeah, you just lose interest. Not that, you know, I fought off my desire to eat meat, it was tough, but I didn't. You'll just lose interest. Like you may have heard the story we've told many times, right in the early days, in 26 Second Avenue, Prabhupada was preaching, young people were coming and getting involved in chanting regularly, and even some would stay with him sometimes, but he was not pressing them regarding these things, you know, like eating meat, taking drugs. They were so much into taking drugs. So one day Prabhupada went for a walk up the street and he passed the local sort of fish and chip shop or whatever, the local McDonald's type of place. And he, you know, he's just walking along, just happened to glance in, and he saw there was a group of the young devotees inside eating their, whatever it was, fish and chips. And they had no idea. They just didn't know about these things. So you can imagine, Prabhupada looked at them, it must have been a little bit of a, you know, a little disturbing. But they knew nothing. So they just smiled at Prabhupada and waved at him. And later when they came later to the temple, Prabhupada said, you know, we Vaishnavs, we normally don't eat these things. And they said, oh, really? Sincerely. And then they stopped. Yeah. So if a person is having difficulty, you know, with following any one, two, three, or even all of the regulative principles, and chanting their rounds, maybe they're not chanting any rounds at all, at least they should come and get involved and do something. Do some service. Any service. I remember when I first came, first day I visited the temple, I bought a set of, little paperback set of Krishna books, and put them down to do something. Came back, they were no longer there. So I asked them, where are my books? And they said, well, you weren't looking after them. It wasn't such a big issue. But then a little later on in the afternoon, they told me, would you mind doing something to help? I thought, gee, you know, I'm a guest here. They said, would you mind washing the bathroom? And so I thought, wow, I'm a guest here, you know. Anyway, I agreed, and I started doing it. And I had taken a vow. Some of you will know, at this point I was at the ripe old age of 21. I had retired. I had decided I would never work again. And here I am, they're telling me, you've got to work. And I thought, no, but this is against my principle. So I started cleaning the toilet. And within about a minute, I was feeling very happy. And I couldn't understand, why am I feeling like this? And then it became even more happy. Then I thought, yeah, this working for Krishna, this is really nice. So there was some taste coming from it, even though, you know, I wasn't so strong on the other things, at least. Okay, so if you can't practice the regulations of Bhakti Yoga, just try to work for me. And then text 11. if you are unable to work. In other words, if you can't do any service, then try to act giving up all results of your work. Try to really be renounced. Don't be attached. Give charity. Be generous. Don't, you know, be a miser. This is the idea. Not to Krishna. It's not a matter of giving it to Krishna, but just give it to someone and don't hold on to it all yourself. And, you know, get stuck being too attached to material things. Just try to become a little detached. Then, verse 12, if you cannot take to this practice, in other words, if you are too miserly, you just can't give anything in charity or whatever. You have to hold on to all of it. If you cannot take to this practice, then engage yourself in the cultivation of knowledge. And in Krishna consciousness, what does that mean? It means read Prabhupada's books. Yeah. So if you can't renounce anything, you're just too much of a Scrooge. You meet a beggar in the street, you won't give him 10 cents. Then at least read Prabhupada's books. And then you may get the idea, actually, you know, I shouldn't be so attached. So let me give some things. And then you'll get the idea, actually, I should do something for Krishna. I'll do some service. And then you get the idea, actually, I should apply these principles and improve myself. So you see, from this level of cultivating knowledge, the other levels can come. And what if you can't do that? You can't read the books or cultivate the knowledge or listen to the lectures or discuss with the devotee. You can't do anything. So then what do you do? Then you're off the scale, I'm afraid. It's like, you know, we will pray for you. Yeah. This is why, you know, frankly, most people in this world, in general, most people, either they are too much attached to give anything, so, you know, it would be good if they take a book, or they're ready to take a book and give some charity and not be too detached. The people in general are on these levels at best. They may be able to take a book, they may be able to give something in charity. But if they're not, they won't take a book, they refuse everything to do with Krishna consciousness, then it's a bit of a sad situation. Sad situation if they won't take a book. So, yeah, so therefore we recommend for all of you, as much as you're able, try and apply the regulative principles and chant 16 rounds if you can, or as many rounds as you can. If you really have difficulty with that, well, and do service, of course, but if you really have difficulty with the principles and chanting, then at least come to the temple and get involved and do some service. And that way you'll get a taste. So this brings us on to the last section. Begins with verse 13. And goes through to the end of the chapter, which is verse 20. And this is about qualities which endear one to Krishna. So we won't go through all of them, but the basic idea, let's look at 13 and 14. One who is not envious, but is a kind friend to all living entities, who doesn't think himself a proprietor and is free from false ego, who is equal in both happiness and distress, who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled and engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence fixed on me, such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. So if we develop, the idea is, if we develop these qualities, then Krishna will become attracted to us. Krishna will take an interest in us. Who is this person? I like the look of this person. Yeah. So therefore we should cultivate these qualities and Krishna will be attracted. There's one lecture by Srila Prabhupada on these two verses. And Prabhupada begins the lecture by saying, yes, this is Krishna consciousness. How will Krishna love me? If you get the point. Normally, I mean, often we talk about how will I love Krishna? How will we develop Krishna prema? How will we become attracted to Krishna? But the idea is here, how will Krishna become attracted to me? So I can become that sort of person. Krishna will decide, I want him. I cannot do without him. And then Krishna takes you back to Godhead. So if we cultivate these qualities, Krishna will become attracted towards us. And this will be the success of life. In the last verse, verse 20, most of these verses present, you know, 5, 6, 7 or however many different qualities, non-envious, friend to all living entities like that, the verses we just read, there's several qualities mentioned. This last verse, verse 20, presents just one quality. Those who follow this imperishable path of devotional service and who completely engage themselves with faith, making me the supreme goal, are very, very dear to me. So in other words, this is the most important quality. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur makes an interesting point. He says here, he counts them. He says here there are 35 qualities. Between verse 13 and 20. There are 35 qualities. This one in verse 20 is the most important. It is essential. The others, you know, are more sort of marginal. Not entirely essential. He says they're all 35 are very nice. This one's the most important. At least you should develop 7 of them. He knows Krishna personally. He says, if you develop 7 of them, Krishna will accept you. How's that? Yeah. If you develop 7, including this one, and any 6 others, take your pick, then Krishna will accept you. And more than 7 is also okay. Even all of them, but that's, you know, a bit of a big job. So this is the idea, that we should try to become the type of person, the types of people who Krishna wants. Isn't this the difference between marketing and selling? Selling means that you just decide, you know, I think I'm going to sell this product and make people buy it. Marketing means you try and find out what people want and then provide that. So obviously marketing is a better way than just, you know, forcing people to buy something that they may not want. So we should try to understand what Krishna wants and do that. Yeah. Not like, you know, a classic case. You hear that, yes, Krishna wants you to offer him your food. So then you think, wow, great. I like Kentucky Fried Chicken. I'm just going to offer it to Krishna. Here, Krishna, take it. But what if, well, Krishna doesn't like it, I'm afraid. So, you know, what's the point of trying to force it on him? So we should try to understand what Krishna wants. And do that. You know, what type of service he wants from us? and what type of person he would like us to become. And particularly like things which he does not like, we should carefully avoid. And then we'll progress. Then we'll progress in that Krishna will become attracted to us. Krishna will accept us. And when Krishna accepts you, then that's the perfection of love. Back home, back to Godhead. Okay. So, I think that's about it. There you have it. The middle six chapters of Bhagavad Gita. The essence of Bhagavad Gita. I hope you found it interesting. I hope you learned something from it. Hope we didn't disappoint any of you. Hope, I mean too much at least. Hope we didn't offend any of you. Please forgive us if we did. And try and put it into practice in your lives and progress in devotional service. Srila Prabhupada Kiva. Hare Krishna.